This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
Every 10 years following the census, seats on the U.S. House of Representatives are reapportioned among the states. This time, Pennsylvania will lose a congressional district, complicating the job of redrawing the congressional district lines. Albert Eisenberg is a co-founder and digital director of Broad and Liberty, a nonprofit news site, and he is co-author of a comprehensive report entitled Redistricting in Pennsylvania, the Past, Present, and Future. Albert, when we look at redistricting, congressional redistricting in Pennsylvania, obviously this has been going on every 10 years since the Constitution was put into place well over 200 years ago. Tell us a little bit about how Pennsylvania has historically approached the redistricting process.
Even before the U.S. Constitution was ratified in the colonial era, we had factionalism and we had battle lines over who would be represented and what districts would be drawn. So there were some really interesting splits between Anglicans versus Quakers in Philadelphia and Scots Irish into Lancaster and Western PA. And so this is a problem older than the United States Constitution and inherent to any society is who gets to get represented in government. As far as Pennsylvania and the history of gerrymandering, the Democrats had a pretty strong lock on the U.S. House, and that included Pennsylvania up till the Republican Revolution of 1994. They controlled the House for, I think, 60-plus years. And we had Speaker of the House Samuel Randall, who was represented Philadelphia in the Reconstruction era after the Civil War, whose district was gerrymandered for the Democrats, whereas most of the Philadelphia supported the Republicans, the pro-union party. And then through basically the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, these lines started to get more sophisticated, and the legislatures who were in charge of drawing lines got more help from computer-aided maps, and the courts started intervening more and more with districts that were drawn one way or another to advantage one side or another. And in the 70s, the U.S. Supreme Court decided that and had consistently decided they would not intervene and that there was not an obvious solution from a judicial standpoint on, you know, one man, one vote beyond the Civil Rights Act and making sure that there was minority representation in Congress, which mostly affected the U.S. southern states, but did affect Pennsylvania. And then this all occurred until the 2000s, 2010s, when the sort of historic judicial preference for allowing the legislatures to draw the lines, which is what the Pennsylvania Constitution says we should be doing, it's what our legislature is mandated to do, cracked with a much more partisan, Democratic-leaning state Supreme Court in Pennsylvania and a much more activist liberal contingent in general on the left.
As you mentioned, the process has largely been controlled by the legislature. Tell us a bit about the process of redistricting, which is now currently underway.
According to Article 1, Section 5 of the Pennsylvania State Constitution, elections shall be free and equal. That has been a subject of much contention ever since that was written and drafted. And Pennsylvania legislators basically are in charge of analyzing the U.S. Census results, which happen on the decennial every decade, and deciding whether Pennsylvania goes up or down the amount of congressional representatives we have going to Washington. And they decide where the district lines are drawn. For our U.S. Congress people, the state legislature is in charge of drawing the maps. Our state legislature is dominated by Republicans. This has kind of gone up and down for the last few decades, where Republicans dominate in Pennsylvania at the state level, but we have a Democratic governor for the first time in decades. We have a partisan split between the executive of our state government, the governor, and the legislature of our state government, the PA House and the PA Senate. So they will be in charge, and they've already kicked off sessions to discuss and get community feedback and look at the data that has come from the U.S. Census to see where the voters are, what areas have gone up in population, what areas have gone down in population, and reappropriate the districts based on the population to create hopefully 19 roughly equal districts in Pennsylvania.
We are talking with Albert Eisenberg of Broad and Liberty. He is co-author of a report, Redistricting in Pennsylvania, the Past, Present, and Future. And Albert, we have folks today who seem to think that the possibility that these districts may get gerrymandered, it's something that has occurred. And as you mentioned, usually one party has controlled the process here in Pennsylvania. This time it's different. So have we seen maps in the past that didn't really comport with a lot of the rules that...
Yeah. So, and this is what this white paper report that Broad and Liberty just issued, that's available for download at broadandliberty.com, is discussing, which I co-author, is sort of the way that the maps have been drawn and whether or not they've been sort of quote-unquote fair from a partisan standpoint. And there have been legislatures that stretch the limits of partisanship. You see that in Maryland, is one of the most gerrymandered states in the country in favor of Democrats. And then the Pennsylvania lines in the 2010s, we were favored for Republicans at the start of it. But one of the interesting points that my co-author Kyle Salmon and I argue in the Broad and Liberty redistricting white paper is that extreme gerrymanders, so gerrymanders that overstretch the map for one party or another, in this case for the Republicans in the early 2010s, actually end up exposing vulnerabilities within the decade for the party. So in New Jersey, we have maps that favored Republicans at the start of the 2010s. And in Pennsylvania, we have maps that favored Republicans at the start of 2010s. But with the suburban slide away from the GOP, actually many of those districts, even without a court intervention in Pennsylvania, would have flipped to the Democrats within the decade. So legislators have to be really smart if they're trying to protect their own parties, at which they all are, and they're all ultimately trying to save their own skins. And they have to take into account the factors on the ground that are going to change and try and create districts which in 8 to 10 years will actually be beneficial to them in the same way.
Democrats have argued they are underrepresented in Congress and in the state legislature because Republicans gerrymandered all the maps. But talk a bit about population concentration. How does that affect the whole redistricting process?
Well, it certainly does affect the redistricting process. And the problem with the Democratic Party is that they're so ideologically rigid and clustered in their own groups that they don't understand the rest of the people that they're seeking to represent. So, yes, huge, significant portion of Democratic voters are clustered in Philadelphia and Allegheny County, in Dauphin County, and Harrisburg, Allentown, and then a lot of the rest of the state, even the ancestrally Democratic parts of the state, are definitely trending Republican. So that's a problem. What the state Supreme Court, which is dominated by Democrats, decided to do in 2017 and 2018 is basically take the power away from the Pennsylvania legislature to draw the lines, redo the lines that were supposed to be set until 2021. And they decided to cleverly carve out, which we go into in this redistricting report on Broad and Liberty, they cleverly carved out areas of the blue inner suburbs of Philadelphia, and then they added more rural areas, but just enough that they would still ensure that there were Democratic partisans that were elected to districts like the Chester County district. They tried to rig Brian Fitzpatrick's district in Bucks County by adding a more Democratic portion of Montgomery County. Even though there's an enormous, densely populated vote in Philadelphia, there are clever ways you can scoop voters either out of Democratic portions of more conservative counties, like was done in Reading in Berks County. It was added to the Chester County seat to ensure it'd be Democratic, or kind of diving in and carving out voters, but making it look like it abides by various quote unquote, scientific principles, which we go into this report and sort of debunk the quote-unquote science of redistricting.
Albert Eisenberg of Broad and Liberty, co-author of the report Redistricting in Pennsylvania, the Past, Present, and Future. Albert's also co-founder and digital director for Broad and Liberty. Albert, thank you for being with us.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.